Our scripture reading for this first week of the Advent season is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So about this time of year, kids all over the world are hard at work writing out their Christmas lists, right? And let's be honest, it's not just the kids. Some of you have your list. I know I have my list, though nobody really asks for my list anymore. I don't know why, but I have my list. What do you want for Christmas? That's what the parents are asking. Everywhere as they prepare to do their shopping. I remember one year I really, really wanted a bass guitar. And it was really about more than the guitar for me. I played the piano, and you know, that was all fine and all, but it didn't get me into the band that a few of my friends were starting. Not quite cool enough for that, you know. And so I thought that if I just got this bass guitar, maybe it would help me be just a little bit cooler, and maybe these guys would want me in their band. And so that Christmas, that was my list. That was my whole list, and I wanted it so bad, and I actually got it. I got that bass guitar, and I still have it. I should have you play it probably, Rick, to see if it works. But you know, it was a really, really a disappointment, ultimately. And I think I don't think it made me any cooler at all. And I didn't get into that band. I remember I was really kind of disappointed when I would sit down to practice the bass guitar, and when I would practice, it would just sound like this, you know, this low note. You know, I would just a low note. That's what the bass is, you know, if you play the bass. That's just a low note, and it's really hard. It was really hard for me to make the thing sound cool by myself, and we're really pretty lucky with our bassist here in that way. My expectations were so big and grand, no present under the tree was really going to get me the things that I really wanted. My mother-in-law posted something online the other day that I think is really true. It said that I think as you grow older, your Christmas list gets smaller and smaller, and the things you really want for Christmas can't be bought. Can't be bought anymore. It's really true. Our expectations for this season are not met with things. In fact, the best things about this season, I think, defy human expectations altogether. It seems that is exactly what Jesus was all about from the very beginning. In our scripture today, from the prophet Isaiah, we hear the prophet speak hope to a hurting people. The people of Israel were divided, and they were living under the oppression of a foreign king, intermixed in a foreign culture, and so the people had begun to sink into a deep darkness. And Isaiah had watched this nation of Israel come down in a time when the light was growing dim. It wasn't like the enemy was stealing the light. The people, the good people were choosing to let it slip away. In their world with the secular cultural of the foreign oppressors, their story, their truth began to get all mixed up with the secular world, and so the light was growing dim. In our culture, I think we have a similar odd blend of things, sacred and secular. We got the elves and the reindeer and the shepherds, the snowmen, the magi, Jesus and Santa. And it's all great. It's all great, you know, and it's all magical. This prophecy from Isaiah is just a reminder to remember what the story is that we are holding on to. Where does our light, our hope, come from? People often describe depression as kind of like slipping into a dark hole. In recent decades, psychologists have discerned a link between a lack of light and depression. Some of the most melancholy people in the world live in the most northern places, places like Finland and Norway, where during many of the months of the year, the sunlight is so limited to a few hours a day. And even in other parts of the world, something called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD for short, has been discovered in people who start to drive to work in the morning, in the early morning darkness, in the winter, who labor all day in a windowless office or a factory, only to drive back home in the darkness again. When people go without natural light for long enough, something begins to go wrong, and they begin to slip into a depression. For some, a remedy has been prescribed of light therapy. By exposing some people for a few hours every week to sun-like light, doctors have been able to lift the fog of depression. We were created for the light. We still need light. With daylight savings time just recently and during the winter, it gets dark so early, so annoyingly early. It's dark all the time. I saw this cartoon about this old lady, this lady who looks out the window. She looks out the window and she's like, is it midnight? It feels like midnight. And no, it's just 5:27, and that's our life now. 5:27, complete black. I had a pleasant surprise the other day. The baby was up early, and so I was up, and then Ella woke up, because we were up, and I stepped outside just for a second, just to feel what the weather was like. And Ella ran out of the house to follow after me, and she started running around the yard in her pajamas. And I noticed there it was for us. We could actually watch the sunrise. And I don't know when the last time I saw the sunrise was. And so I grabbed Ella as she was running around, and I made her stop for a second so we could watch the light come up over the horizon. Israel long awaited and hoped for a Messiah, some mighty king like David to come and destroy their enemies and restore Israel, bring them out of the darkness and to their hoped for glory. And the prophet Isaiah speaks to these hopes and fears of Israel, and he says that the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. And then come those familiar Christmas words: for a child has been born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Throughout the Old Testament and even into the Gospels and the New Testament, there's a significant misunderstanding about what the Messiah was going to come and to be for them. Even in the Gospels, the people wanted their mighty warrior king, someone to come and free the people from the Roman Empire. Jesus was not what they wanted, not what they expected. But Jesus was and is what we need. Jesus is what we need. Napoleon, the French military and political leader, once spoke about his admiration for Jesus. And he said that Alexander the Great, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I myself have all founded great and powerful empires, but Jesus alone founded his empire upon love. And to this day, millions of people would die for him. Jesus Christ was more than a man, he said. In the classic children's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, toward the end, Aslan, the lion, who is the Jesus figure in the story, he gives himself up for death to the white witch. And the white witch, in all her power and all her terrible magic, she kills Aslan. And for a time, it seems that evil has won, that death has won. And then this scene that mirrors the life and the death of Jesus, Aslan comes alive again. And when he wakes up, he says that though the white witch knew the deep magic, that there is a magic that is deeper still. There's a magic that is deeper still. This seems to get at the heart of what Jesus came for, to show us this something deeper, defying our human expectations, defying the ways of this world, to give us what we really need, not some powerful, very human military leader, but Savior. And what we really want in life, not just at Christmas and in life, is this something deeper. What we really want, really need, is the Savior. And Isaiah says, unto us a child is born, a son is given. Later in Isaiah, it says that he was
When we read about Jesus in the Gospels and his relationship with the disciples, it becomes fairly clear that the disciples really didn't understand what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah. They knew that's who he was, and they knew that that was the role that God had sent him to play, but they still were kind of this mind that he would be that, you know, that military king that Brian was talking about tonight, that warrior leader. And there's a moment in the Gospels where Jesus says to the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they immediately begin to speak up. Some say you're the prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist returned. And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter steps up and he says, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. And Jesus then says, yeah, but, I mean, he doesn't say it exactly that way, but he says, now let me tell you what that means. That means that I must go to Jerusalem and be crucified and die and be raised again on the third day. And I'm not sure they got it even then. I still think that it was confusing to them. It didn't make sense. They wanted a king, but they were going to get a redeemer, a savior. And that's what we celebrate every time we come to this table, that the Son of God, the King of love, came so that he could sacrifice himself for us. We remember his death every time we gather at this table. And we're going to celebrate that in a minute. I want to remind you that if you are sitting in either these two sections or these two sections, to go to the aisle in between to come down to receive communion. And invite you to pray with me at this time. Gracious God, we thank you for this table around which we gather, for the bread which we break, the cup which we share. We pray your blessing upon it, that we might remember that night when Jesus was with his disciples, the night he was betrayed, the night he was arrested, the night before he would be crucified and die on the cross. As we gather at this table tonight, we remember that and celebrate that and pray that we might receive his love, for we ask this all in Jesus' name.